Job chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear and I will speak, I will question you, and you declare to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Verses 10 through 17. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then there came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before, and they ate bread with him in his house, and they showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. And each of them gave him a piece of money and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, and he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He named the first Jemima, the second Keziah, the third Keren Nahapak. In all the land there were no women so beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father gave them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and his children's children, 4 generations, and Job died, old and full of days. Our New Testament is from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23 through 28. It's on page 222 in your hymnals. And actually, I'm going to expand it a little bit. I'm going to start with verse 21. But this one became a priest with an oath because of the one who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Accordingly, Jesus had also become the guarantee of a better covenant. Furthermore, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests those who are subject to weakness. But the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The word of God for the people of God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Interesting that we would get those two scriptures together. On the one hand, Job, who, you know, one of the readings is he was unfairly persecuted by the things that were happening, by Satan himself.
Now you can hear me a little better. Thought it sounded a little bit light. So, Job's persecution, and as you read the book of Job, you find that it's not because of something he did, but because of the challenge, because it seemed he was so blessed. And Satan personally went after him. That's the story. In Hebrews, we have, as David said last week, He had a list of things, and he told you how many people wrote down the things that you've done for God this week and the things God has done for you this week. Anybody keep track of that? Well, I'll tell you what, Saturday I had a full list and all the things that God has done for me this week. And there was just a little bit filled in there for the things that I've done for God this week. And it tells me again and again that He blesses way beyond what I can ever compare to. That His gifts and His mercy so far exceed my ability to understand even. That's how great and marvelous and wonderful our God is. The sign out there today says what? Anybody read it?
Character.
Well, okay. There are some people who people have said, now that's a character. Now, is that positive or negative? Well, it all depends, right, on the context. The other piece is when you see the word character, it could be, like Spider-Man. He's a character in a comic book. Superman. Or an actor or an actress who plays a part in a movie or a series. Indiana Jones. How many know who Indiana Jones is? There we go. Come on, Wayne. You know who Indiana Jones is. Yeah, okay. Ah! Now that's a character. But the character we're going to talk about today is more properly under the heading of characteristics. Jesus had a character that we know and we see by characteristics. And why is it so important that we know what Jesus was like, what He did, and about Jesus' character? Why? What's the commandment that Jesus gives us that night in the upper room? This new commandment I give you, to love one another. How? As I have loved you. So why is His character preeminent? Because we have a commandment to love our brothers and sisters. How? As Christ loved us. So we have to know the character of Jesus to fully understand and to fully put into place, or better put into place, because there's no way we're ever going to fully understand the grace and mercy. How in the world could He forgive someone like me? How in the world could He take someone like me and have me go the places that I've been and get out of there alive? There are characteristics of Christ, but they are His character. Let's list some of these. One, Jesus, in verse 21, He became a priest with an oath. And whose oath? He becomes a priest in the oath that's spoken by the Lord has sworn and will not change His mind. You are a priest forever. That's characteristic number one, that God chose Him to be the high priest, not by the law, but by His word. Aaron, Levi, and all of those priests that served the Jewish people had been designated by God, but by the law. Jesus is not presented under the law. He's presented by the oath of God. You are a priest forever. 22, accordingly, Jesus has also become the guarantee of a better covenant. A better covenant. The covenant made by God with Adam and Eve, the covenant made by God with Noah, the covenant made by God with Abraham, the covenant made by God with Moses, those were all to those individuals. and to the nation of Israel. Jesus' covenant through God, or God's covenant with us through Jesus, is for whom? Everybody. Jesus says what? Go into the world and preach my gospel. To whom? To whom? Oh, come, certainly just the Jew, right? No, everybody. How much greater his message is to us, and a better covenant. The former priests, some of them were good. Some of them followed the way of the Lord and served him faithfully all their lives. And some of them, not so much. But all of them died. They could only serve for a period of time. But Jesus, he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Where's Jesus right now? Sitting at the right hand of God the Father, from thence he shall judge the quick and the dead. He also has with us, through the Holy Spirit, his presence alive. Vivid, powerful, exciting, invigorating. Those are characteristics of Jesus. The other is he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him. Because his whole purpose is to intercede for you. In John chapter 6, all these people come to Jesus and they want him to feed them. He's just fed 5,000. They're asking for food. And what does Jesus say? I come not to do my will. I come not to do my will, but the will of the Father. And he doesn't leave you hanging. He says the will of the Father is what? That none given to me by him will be lost. That on that last day I will raise them up. He will accomplish his task, his mission. He is able to save us. It was fitting that we should have such a high priest. Some other characteristics. This is in verse 26. He's holy. Now, what is holy? Not holy moly. Not holy roller. Holy. So perfect, so set apart, because distinctly different. If you have perfection, and then you have me, okay, how do I look next to perfection? Pretty small. And then you can substitute where I put me in there. You can separate. You can substitute any one of you that wants to stand in there compared against perfection. Holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. These are all characteristics that we see in Scripture and we see in the Gospels, how Jesus is compared to the rest of us. Think of something else. When he's there in that city, and these men bring this woman who's been caught in adultery. And he's a rabbi, he's a teacher, he knows Jewish law. What do you think the penalty for adultery is? Death by stoning. But that penalty applies both to the guy and the gal, and the only one brought is the gal. I don't know if there's some impact in that one, but how does Jesus judge that? These people are all ready to throw. They are. The only thing stopping them from stoning her is the fact that they want to trap Jesus in some way. Rabbi, what is it that should be done? And he puts them back under the law. And he says, well, what does it say in the law? That she should be stoned. Okay? Let the one who is without sin cast the first stone. He didn't refute the law. He didn't say it was wrong. He didn't say it was bad. He just said, okay, look in your heart of hearts. Look into that mirror that has you, your unvarnished, untouched, sanitized image looking back. All your scars, all your imperfections, all your sin. And just like them, I think you would probably drop your stone and slowly walk away. Now that's a beautiful part of the story, but what does Jesus do? You know, he doesn't, okay, now you can leave. Go back to doing what you've been doing. No. See, Jesus never leaves us where he finds us or how he finds us. He says, go, and he says, who is there here to condemn you? No one. He says, and I will not condemn you either. Go and sin no more. And she leaves. Jesus is all about forgiveness, but he's also all about doing the right thing. Go and sin no more. Unlike other priests, he had no need to offer sacrifices day after day for his own sins. And then for those people that this he did once for all, he offered himself. How many times have I said it? You and I deserve death because of our sin. Sin. Or sins. Bless you. But Jesus, the characteristic of Jesus is he came to die for you and me. See, that sin debt has to be paid. And he did. Paid in full. Left hand, right hand, and his feet nailed to a cross. Paid in full. For you and me. That's a characteristic of Jesus Christ. He goes to the cross, not for the sins that he's committed, but for the sins that you and I have committed. And he did that 2,000 years ago. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And if you truly love somebody, you don't let them run down a path of destruction. You try to encourage them to go away from that. If you love someone, you're willing to do almost anything to get them back in a right relationship with you and a right relationship with God. And that's what Jesus Christ does. He does something that none of the rest of us can do. I can love my daughter. I can pray for our grandchildren. But I can't save them. I can encourage them to go to church. I can encourage them to read the Bible. I can encourage them. Mary can encourage these children to read the Bible, read the Scriptures. But you know who's going to save you? Jesus Christ. Mary's a good person. She's going to be working with you. You guys are going to be in the Word. Goes for you too, buddy. You're not alone. You're in the same group. And we're all in the same group because we're children of God. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That's the most powerful characteristic of Christ. That is his character. Shalom.